Hey guys, welcome back to AFK Discussions, your home for the paranormal, the whatever you think is cool. I don't know. But anyways, guys, we got a really cool show today. We got Chris Smith. He's my buddy. We play together in the church worship band. And, you know, I don't know. I've been kind of talking to him a little bit about trying to get some music going or something. I don't know. He used to play in a metal band also. And, you know, I miss it so much. But guys, before we get into it today, I just want to say, guys, we had a tragedy. They're calling it an assassination. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's almost like a martyrdom, you know? I mean, because he was, you know, talking about the gospel and stuff. And that's just what it feels like to me in my heart, you know, that he was martyred for his beliefs. But guys, I don't condone violence. Violence is never the answer. There's so many other ways you can go about things. Yeah, I mean, he was very vocal, and I'm sure it rubbed a lot of people the wrong ways. But still, guys, you don't need to resort to that. That's just never the answer. And also, some other sad news, Dr. Jeff Meldrum passed today. So my heart and prayers, my thoughts and prayers goes out to his family and also Charlie's family. So, guys, before we get into it, one more thing. Check out fattac.com for all your tactical needs. I don't want to, like, sound like a broken record, but, you know, with everything going on, I just talked about, you know, they have body armor. You may need body armor. I'm just saying. So check them out at fattac.com. So Chris, how's it going, dude?
It's going great, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. So I saw that he posted some stuff and I was like, dude, I want to talk about that. So I thought I'd have him on. But before we get into that, what I want to talk about, no spoilers, we're going to talk about Alien Earth.
Yeah.
I'm a big nerd and Chris is a nerd. And we kind of, before we play at church, we always kind of geek out about, well, not always, but a little bit about, you know, aliens and Predator and the movies. Yeah. I mean, they're just so great. So what are your thoughts about Alien Earth?
Dude, I am a big fan so far. I don't have any complaints. Noah Hawley, I'm a big fan of his anyways, from the whole Fargo series.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed all the seasons of that. And so when I heard that he was doing Alien Earth, I was trying to reserve my excitement until it came out, but man, it's out and it's wild. There's so many cool themes, so much going on. I won't do any spoilers or anything like that, but there's a lot of really interesting themes in this new version of the Alien franchise. We've got these synths. Well, for those of you who don't know, they've got an entirely new type of human where it's a child's mind that they transplant into a synth body. We've seen synths all throughout the Alien franchise from the very beginning and then to the two prequels with the David saga and all that kind of thing. So we've kind of seen how the synths can be pretty devious and on target and things like that. But this is kind of a whole new thing where they've transferred the consciousness of a dying child, a sick child, into an immortal body, basically. So there's a lot of really cool themes that are explored, like the question, you know, what it means to be human. When is a machine not a machine? And what are these new beings that have been created basically with almost an immortality or an immortal body, you know? And it's kind of interesting to see their character arcs because it's essentially a child in an adult body now. And so there's a lot of interesting things to explore there, a lot of creepy things. And then, of course, you have the whole entire premise of the show is that there was this science vessel that has picked up a whole bunch of different specimens from who knows where in the galaxy. And then somehow that ship crash lands on Earth and all hell starts to break loose. So I've been thoroughly enjoying it. What do you think about it so far?
Man, I absolutely love it 100%. I've always been a fan of the Alien franchise. Man, so I did not go into it with any spoilers. I did not read anything about it because I wanted to just go into it dry. So, and I haven't gone back to read anything yet. So my question to you, do you know when it takes place? Like, is it after the original Aliens or is it actually four movies, right? Is it happen after that or...
You know what? Let me pull up the timeline here.
Okay, because I know Wayland Industries was like the pioneer, but now there's like five corporations. So it makes it seem like it's after.
They say that Alien Earth takes place in the year 2120, just 2 years before Ridley Scott's original 1979 Alien.
Oh, it's before.
So it's a prequel to everything, basically.
Well, dang. Okay. So, well, not everything. I mean, if the...
Well, not, sorry, not Prometheus.
Prometheus, and yeah.
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 But the Alien and Aliens franchise as we know it. Yeah, I thought that was super cool. Another big element that is explored in this is like we really haven't seen Earth, like a futuristic Earth in the entire franchise up until now. And so a part that I thought was cool is they've introduced a new super corporation, super company called Prodigy, which before I think we've only encountered Weyland-Yutani. And so that's a very interesting dynamic. Yeah. You have five super corporations that rule the world now instead of countries. And so it's really just these tech billionaires that control everything and have their own territories and stuff. So that introduces a very interesting dynamic.
It does.
To the world building.
And man, it is so beautifully shot. I mean, it blows my mind. I mean, I'm watching it and it's just like, it's so awesome, especially like when you're on the ship. I mean, it's like, the attention to detail, how much it looks like the Nostromo, it's awesome. And by the way, that's one of the
incredible
all-time favorite band names. I think Nostromo would be an awesome name for a band.
That'd be incredible. We might have we might have to explore that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it is so good. And man, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we call dibs on that as a band name.
On the name. Yeah dude, that is like the best band name ever. One thing, man, it's because watching, like I said, I went in dry, did not knowing anything. Man, the last scene of the first episode ever, what song was that? I can hear the tune in my head, but I can't think of the name of the song.
Wasn't it a Tool song?
What is that?
Was it Schism?
I cannot think of
it. I think it was Schism.
Schism,
man. If it wasn't, I'm about to get outed as a fake Tool fan.
Yeah, but man, the emotions that brought, because I mean, she's just kind of standing there in that open area, and that song starts playing. Dude, it just, all of the songs at the end of each episode is so good, so well placed.
Yeah.
Because I haven't watched the newest episode, but the Smashing Pumpkins song in the last episode,
Pumpkins.
I was like, man, that's perfect.
I think there was a Metallica song after one of the episodes.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, that's all of those are love letters to me as a semi-old rocker dude.
I'm a very old rocker dude. I'm probably. I don't know. I've never asked you how old you are, so I'm just assuming I'm probably 10 years older than you.
You're a smidge older than me. You're not that much older.
Older. Yeah.
Yeah. You still got it though. You're still bringing that low end, baby.
That's right. So, guys, I don't want to make this an Alien Earth podcast, but it's so good. And guys, we got some cool new Predator movies coming up, and that's going to be awesome. I still haven't watched the animation one yet. But I need to watch that.
Oh, man, Killer of Killers. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I definitely need to check that out. And the newer stuff I've been seeing from, what is the name of the new Predators movie? Predator?
The animated one?
No, the new movie that's coming out.
Oh, Badlands.
Badlands. So at first, whenever I first saw the main character, the main alien, I was like, but now it's kind of grown on me, you know? Because I was like, he looks kind of silly, you know? But
yeah, like he's grown all of his... All of his tentacles.
Yeah. He's like a goofy teenager, you know, coming of age kind of guy.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, awkward looking teenager. You know?
Yeah.
And feeling, this is just a kind of a gut feeling that what we're being introduced to in Alien Earth, the new sense, is going to somehow play, I think, into the world of Predator. Because you see him with the synth, I guess, half body that he's carrying around.
Yeah.
I think that's going to play something into it.
I bet you're right. Yeah. There's a scene, and this is not a spoiler because it's in the trailers, but there's a scene where like she's damaged and they plug something in. And so it looks like she's resetting and her eyes flip back and it says Weyland-Yutani on it. So
yeah,
very well. Alien Earth could introduce that to where Weyland-Yutani has their own version of a consciousness transfer into a synth or something.
Yeah, because, I don't want to spoil it, but I have theories about why that is. Because, I mean, if
okay,
the one guy, I'm not going to say anything, but the one guy kind of is like.
I know what you're talking about. Yep, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Because the two synths are sitting on the couch, and he's like talking to him, and he's like, or not in this, and when they're in the ship, they were gathering the specimens.
Yes.
So anyways.
It's going to be good. Anyways,
okay. So we're going to get into something kind of, I don't know if it's a little more acceptable now than whenever I started researching it, but it's still kind of shunned by even the people into the weird stuff. This is a topic that they kind of shun, even if you believe in werewolves, 100%. You're like, what? Flat Earth? Yeah. That's not real. Werewolves are real, but Flat Earth is not.
Yeah.
In fact, I think that's the name of this episode, Werewolves on the Flat Earth.
There you go. I dig it.
Yep. I was wearing the shirt, so werewolves was the first thing that came to my head.
Yeah, it fits, man. That's it.
But man, so you made a post, and I'm just going to kind of piggyback off of it because we're Christians, if you guys didn't know that. I mean, if you've listened to my show, you've heard me talk about my faith. But one thing, the biblical account does make room for flat earth. In fact, it kind of supports it the way it's worded, like the circumference of the earth. I think it says it doesn't say like a ball. It makes reference to more of like a flat plane, like a, what is it? Not, my mind is going blank now. Anyways, so, and it's like talks about it's set on pillars and there's a firmament above a dome, and it kind of references, God makes the stars and the sun for signs and seasons. And then he separates the waters from the waters. And I mean, it's all this stuff, and I'm getting way ahead of myself right now, way ahead. So in the biblical creation, this is one thing that gets me. Okay. So in the biblical creation, it says that, God separates the waters from the waters. So there's waters above and waters below. Mm-hmm. So, and if you look at rockets and stuff, especially now with like the SpaceX and stuff, when they go up so high, it's like a boat on water. Like if you're looking underneath, looking up at a boat on water. Yeah, it looks like a wake. And that's pretty crazy. And that's, I mean, this kind of is, it's so big. The flat earth, because I mean, you got, okay, if the earth is flat and we're in a dome, space isn't real. We didn't land on the moon. The sun and the moon are local. They're not millions of miles away. Mm-hmm. There's so many implications to this.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts? I'm just going to throw you in there.
Like you said, there are so many things about this. There's all the mechanics of it, right? And we could talk about that a little bit if you want to. I don't have all the answers for that.
Oh, yeah, we get.
Just from,
we're just going to jam on
philosophical. From a philosophical standpoint, I mean, it has a lot of implications just for us as human beings about the nature of our existence, about where we live, right? Right off the bat, it kind of flies in the face of scientism and the whole idea that, we randomly evolved from an explosion somewhere and particles collided with each other and life was formed and all this kind of stuff. And that puts forth the notion that, hey, we're not special. We're just like random accidents, just careening through space. There's nothing special about us. Versus if the earth was intentionally created to sustain life, that means there was an intelligent designer, intelligent creator that created us for a purpose. And, that means you have a lot of worth as a human being just by the fact that we exist, right? Just by the fact that something, so much thought was put into a place to perfectly sustain life and have it flourish, human life, animal life, that kind of thing. So, yes, there's so much to unpack here. And there's this idea that has been put forth in our culture. I mean, probably going back to our grandparents' era, just throughout movies and books and things like this, where it's like they refer to ancient people as less intelligent because they thought the world was flat, right?
Yeah.
And so that's making some major assumptions that we are much more intelligent today, when really we've only built upon previous generations' findings and things like that. I mean, if you go back now from a Christian standpoint, you go back to like Adam, who personally walked with God Almighty, right? That means God would have taught him things, would have taught him how to name and take care of the animals, would have taught them how to take care of large agricultural areas that needed, you know, needed watering and, you know, hydroforming and all those different things like that. You know, that's some intense things. It includes mathematics and, you know, all kinds of smart things like that. Not to mention, like, you get into megalithic marvels and ancient buildings and cities and things like that. It's like, they still don't know how a lot of those things were created. So it's like, did they have some help with technology? Maybe. I mean, probably, you know, if you go talk about the watchers and, you know, that kind of thing that they possibly gave forbidden technology and knowledge to mankind. I mean, that, you know, that would explain that kind of thing, but yeah, I don't want to get too far off track from the flat earth stuff. There's so many things you could dive into there. I think that just a couple of things just come to mind. I mean, water always settles to flat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like if you've ever been outside, like we have a bunch of kiddie pools and stuff when we're outside and we have some dogs and things. So during the summer, we're like throwing tennis balls. I've got those launchers and inevitably they land in the pool and get all soaked. But it's like you throw that like through the air. The water comes flying off, like as it's spinning, the water comes flying off. So it's like, how does water stick to a spinning globe ball, right? No one's been able to explain that to me, right? Whereas, you know, water always settles to flat plane, like it fills a container to settle to flat. So that was very interesting to me. This whole journey kind of started in 2017 in Denver, Colorado. I was a sales manager at an assisted living home, and the head chef was a buddy of mine. I went back to get some lunch and we were just, you know, shooting the breeze and I grabbed my plate and I'm about to leave. He's like, "Hey, you know, the earth is flat, right?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, the earth is flat. And Antarctica is a big ice wall and there's cities down there and all the reptilian elites that run the world live down there." I was like, "What are you talking about, bro?" And it just like the cognitive dissonance just started forming, you know? And so I went home that night. I said, "No way. There's absolutely no way." Just started researching flat earth. I found a guy named Rob Skiwa. I don't know if you've ever come across any of his stuff. He's since gone to be with the Lord. But Rob had a lot of really interesting things to say, especially from the biblical standpoint, where he talks about the earth is fixed and immovable on its foundations, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, wow, fixed and immovable. What does that mean? And so it's like, then they talk about the four corners of the earth. It's like, okay, so how does a ball have four corners? You know?
Yeah.
And so that would make sense if you have a flat stationary plane and then a dome over it that's round.
Yeah.
Almost like a terrarium.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people talk about the flat stationary earth as Yahweh's terrarium. Makes me feel like a pet turtle in an aquarium or something. I don't know.
I mean, it makes sense because I mean, if there's so much stuff to get into because, you know, this, like you're talking about the terrarium and, you know, the turtle, it just reminds me of that. There's, what is it? The belief in, is it Hinduism? The earth is on the back of a turtle.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
And it's flat. Yeah.
That'd be interesting to study into. Yeah. Like if they mean like, if they believe it's an actual large living turtle or if it's just like that's the metaphor they're using or something, you know?
Yeah. But so there's also the celestial bodies.
That's what reference we're talking about, by the way.
Yeah. 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 Guys, I wasn't prepared. I don't have.
Sorry for footage. The reflection, but yeah.
Yeah. So, the celestial bodies like the stars and planets, isn't there reference to those being like angels?
Yes, to being actual living beings with names.
Yeah.
Right, you give sentient beings names. I find that very interesting. In the book of First Enoch, it talks about both the sun and the moon are the same size.
Mm-hmm.
The moon was just given less light, and so when I read that at first, I was like, "Wait a minute, the moon has its own light?" Because traditional scientism teaches that the moonlight is only reflection from sunlight.
Yeah,
but I think it's been proven that it's its own thing. It's a different type of waveform light. And so I guess I think it has four times less the amount of light than the sun has.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to go back and read that. But yeah, it talks about them being the exact same size, right? And that they are within our atmosphere underneath our dome. And they move along the same circuits. And it's also interesting if you read in First Enoch, it talks about them moving in and out of portals.
Mm.
And so that's I haven't dove deep enough into that rabbit hole yet, but that I find that very fascinating. Almost like, remember when you played Pac-Man as a kid?
Yeah.
And it's like one goes in, one to the edge. Yeah. You come in and you go and it comes out the other side. It's like, okay, it could be something like that. You know, it's feasible.
It's possible.
So, And I mean, I think that's all of this is readily observable now.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You have time-lapse cameras and things like that. You can observe that. And even these pictures you see when people take time-lapse of the stars.
The stars, yeah.
You see the stars are actually revolving around us, right? Like a giant, almost like a timepiece. And I find that interesting too, because scripture talks about God using the earth as his footstool and looking down at the face of the earth, the circle of the earth. Well, what else has a face? A watch, right? Now, I know like these days we have Apple watches that are more kind of square or rectangular, but you know, traditionally watch faces are round and the parts are moving around inside with clockwork precision. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think that analogy is very interesting.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I think that has something to do with our actual Earth and how the things move and all of that. Astrology is also something that's very interesting. And we shy away from it because of its association with paganism in the New Age and things like that. But I mean, the Creator created the stars and the luminaries, as the sun and moon are referred to, and gave them a mission and gave them a circuit to move along in order to tell his story of creation, tell his story of Jesus and his, you know, entire life, death, and resurrection. It's all in the stars.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Like, I can't remember, it was like Virgo the Virgin, and then it goes, I can't remember what it is, then it goes to Leo the Lion or something like that. I can't remember the pattern, but I've heard all that before,
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
Tie that into, so you mentioned a minute ago about how the stars are actual beings, like angels. And so if you think about it this way, what if they are given a specific location and that's their job, their mission is to go to that location and to shine a light, and that's their marker and they're given that, you know? And so then correlate that with what Paul talks about the angels that left their first estate that were disobedient. I think that's a reference to the watchers that came to earth. But if you extrapolate a little bit more on that, there is this idea of leaving your post or leaving your station where you were, like your mission, where you're supposed to be. So it's like some of those rebellious, disobedient angels left their post where they were supposed to be because they're like, no, I don't want to come and shine here and tell the story of God and his son and the Savior, right? And so then that could have been almost the start of where they started to pervert astrology and use that to tell a different story instead and promote their own pantheon of little gods, little G gods, you know? So,
yeah, so I'm going to run it back a little bit. So we were talking about the stars and how they spin. So if you go outside, you'll see the same stars as you've saw all your life. I mean, January through January, it's always the same stars. You're never like spinning and seeing another constellation. And that is true for everywhere around the world. I mean, they may be in a different position in the sky, but it's still the same stars.
You're still seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
and I can attest also, to that because I grew up in Africa. So
yeah,
it's the same kind of thing. Like you said, there might be a slightly different position, but you're still seeing the same things.
Yeah. And also, this is something that I have been noticing, and people call me absolutely crazy. So, okay. I always sound crazy when I talk about it.
No, man, you're good. You're in good
company. So I go out at 8 a.m. in the morning, and there's the moon in the sky still, and the sun's out. Mm-hmm. Noon, go out, look up in the sky. There's the moon. And it's in a cycle where, say, it's a full moon or something, right? Mm-hmm. So, but if you go online and you see, you type in like China, what's the moon cycle in China? Oh, it's like full moon or whatever in China. At the same, I mean, how are they seeing that? And we're seeing the moon at the same time if they're on the other side of the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one thing that's really been bugging me lately.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Well, I saw a animation model that a pro flat earther made, and they put forth that maybe that there is two of each.
That's interesting.
So, yes, and two separate sides. So when I'm using my hands here, pardon me, but it's like assuming we're looking top down.
Yeah.
But it's like a sun and a moon, and then they're kind of moving like that. So I don't know.
That's interesting.
I haven't dug much into that.
Yeah, because I've seen the original model where it's just the sun and the moon in there, you know, going around the flat earth,
I wonder
a clock, like hands on the clock.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's something we should ask an expert in Flat Earth about.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what's his name? Is it Eric Dubé? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to get him on the show, but
that'd be good.
I've reached out to him like in the past and he never go back to me, but you know, we will. Or, so the guy that got me into Flat Earth, I just happened, cause this was back, gosh, maybe 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I was at work and I always watch YouTube videos and I'll go down rabbit holes.
Yeah.
So there's this guy, Mark Sargent. I don't know. Have you heard of Mark Sargent?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I watched his, there was a series he had. It was like an introduction to the Flat Earth. And I watched that and I was like, oh my God, the Earth's flat. You know, I know he kind of got into some trouble like some years ago. And
yeah,
but I mean, his stuff is still like, I mean, it's very valid. Like, and he's interviewed a lot of people like pilots and government contractors that have all said that, we don't nose up to keep the plane level. It's just level, you know, mm-hmm. and then like, I know we talked about this. I sent you a video or something. So the captain of the ship or laser of the ship, laser guy mm-hmm. shot a laser X amount of miles and it didn't curve. And the target they hit, you know, if it was on a globe Earth, it would have been like X amount of miles below the curve. And you know, there's lasers don't curve. They go straight. So,
exactly.
Unless you have a mirror out there redeflecting the laser, which I don't think they had.
Even then it's like a laser beam doesn't curve. Like you said, it's going to be, you know, right angles reflecting. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, I forget, what is it? Oh, I'd have to go back and look at the math of what the supposed calculations for curvature would be. But yeah, with like pilots have confirmed that, you know, they're not constantly nosing, having the nose down. There's ones where like you can see cities across large bodies of water that you should be able to see because
you can see Chicago from across the Great Lakes or whatever that is.
That's one of them. Yeah. That's one of them. I've done that one personally myself. It's wild. And you have people like, oh, look at the mirage. It's a mirage. It's like, that's not a mirage.
Yeah. There's people that have zoomed in on a camera.
Yeah.
And you can see the people.
P-1000 or something like that.
I think so, yeah. So you can see the people like on the sidewalks and, you know, it's
definitely not a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. So there's all of that, man. That's, you know, let's see what else. Well, even the stars, the star thing itself, it's like if you zoom in on them with a high power telescope, it looks like a light. It looks like a pool light. You ever swam in a pool at night and you see that and it's like, you can, so the pool lights on the side, obviously it's underwater and they have different colored ones. If you look, it's like, depending on how you're looking at it, it put a reflection somewhere else in the pool, like a round light, but it's shimmery. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you zoom in and anyone can Google this, you can just, you know, Google close up of stars, and there's videos of it and everything, but it literally looks like a pool light glowing and shimmering, you know? So that got me thinking, it's like, okay, if angels are supposedly the stars and the stars look like they're shimmering in water, what is going on? So then you touched about when God separated the waters from the waters, right? And carved out the firmament. The Hebrew word there's rakia, which has it's what they would use when you talk about hammering out something, as in like copper, to make a bowl. Mm-hmm. So it has this like hardened type of connotation to it. So it's like, okay, what if that's separating? What if space is water? Right.
Yeah.
And then I went down the track. Have you ever heard of a thing called sonoluminescence?
No, I haven't. Hey, so one second.
Go ahead. Sorry.
What's up? Evangeline wants to give me a hug. Good night.
Hey, family first. Good night.
I love you. Okay.
No, that's good.
They all usually come down and bug me whenever I'm recording. So.
All about that dad life, baby.
That's right.
Good. That's awesome. Sonoluminescence. And you can Google this. But they talk about how scientists have been able to recreating light energy with sound in a vacuum of water.
Really?
And you can pinpoint that, and it's almost a form of type of fusion energy. So it's like, okay, interesting. Let's go super layman's terms here. What if the angels are stationed in certain places and they sing, and the frequency of their singing creates that light energy, and that's how they shine?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very interesting, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that goes back to the whole thing of, you know, God spoke and we exist, you know?
Yep. Yep. Powerful.
I've heard, you know how in the Hebraic tradition, I think it's the Torah, that they'll sing the Torah, mm-hmm. like the yes. rabbis will. It's almost like a song. And yes. That's awesome to think powerful. Of. Maybe God sung us into existence, you know?
Oh man, that's yeah. incredible.
I know.
Yeah. There's something about that too. So about the rabbis and things when they were, I think it was when they were training up like a trainee that was growing up to become a rabbi. When they would teach them about like reverence for the name of Yahweh, Yahuwah, you know, it's literally translated as breath, right? Yeah. And so I seem to remember something about how they would stand in water up to their knees and speak the name of God over water. And somehow that was a callback to when the Spirit of God hovered over the waters of chaos in Genesis when everything had been ruined. Mm-hmm. I find that very poetic, very beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, man. So another thing. So this goes back to the stars, and we were talking about kind of like the stars falling or leaving their first estate. Mm-hmm. So have you watched The Rings of Power?
Oh, on Amazon? Yes. Okay. Yes. Much to the chagrin of my sister and one of my good friends. They
man, I really enjoy it.
I did too.
I really enjoy it.
It's great. It's nowhere near as bad as people say.
I know. It's kind of, it's like fan fiction for, you know, yes. Jeff Bezos, but you know,
that's good.
But no, one thing that I found interesting, and I've heard sort of something along these lines, people talking about it, about the craters on Earth, because there's a few craters, about if, you know, like the fallen angels fell from heaven and actually impacted the Earth and made these craters. And then when you're watching The Rings of Power, you see it. Sorry for spoilers, guys. You see Gandalf fall, which he's a fallen angel, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
Came from heaven, you know, fell and then exploded. I mean, that. So, you know, if you think about. So I know Tony kind of talks about, I don't know if he said this recently, but how the Tolkien lore of, you know, Middle Earth and stuff, maybe Tolkien was privy to knowledge or have seen something on the other side that, like, maybe his world is actually real in just in another dimension, which, I mean, it makes sense mm-hmm. to me. But that also, like, fallen angels, I mean, that's, I mean, if you think of wizards and Nephilim, they would have these powers. I mean, that, it just totally makes sense to me. It kind of fits in with everything.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because I was looking into that the other day. There are 200 of those large craters across the face of the Earth in different areas, right? It's funny because that number 200 correlates with the amount of watchers that says that Elon talks about coming to Earth.
200 that is right. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah. I wonder if there's some sort of correlation there.
I mean, you think? I mean, it's more than a coincidence, I think.
Yeah, that also would go. This could be a deep rabbit hole as well, so I don't want to get too far in the weeds with this. But
let's just go for it. I don't care.
Well, so I wonder if that has something to do with, remember in the Old Testament, when, is it Isaiah, where Jesus says that he's talking about he saw Satan fall like lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what if he was cast out of heaven with so much fury down to the earth, caused that creator somehow and cause utter destruction, right?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the Hebrew in Genesis 1 and 1:2, now we're getting into what's called the gap theory, that there's a gap in time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And it's very interesting because it talks about the earth became void and ruinous. Mm-hmm. So it's like, huh, interesting. In the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth, full stop. And then it's a new thing. It's like, and the earth became formless and void. It's like, okay, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Right? Is there some sort of like cataclysmic event? Was it the fall of the angels? Was that Satan being cast to the earth and just that sheer utter destruction and power or whatever? Who knows? Could be. It destroyed everything down to its foundations and flooded the earth. It's like if the dome is surrounded by water and there's water underneath in the great deep. I mean, it talks about in the flood that the fountains of the deep were opened.
Fountains of the deep, yeah.
And the windows of heaven were opened and just flooded that thing. So it's like if there was some sort of cataclysmic event before that and all kind of water got in and just ruined the world, right? And then basically when the story starts, you see the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, and he comes in and sings and starts to renew everything. I mean, man, that's powerful.
It is.
So I don't know.
So
I
think that made me think also when we were talking earlier about how, you know, ancient people were dumb and stupid, right? Well, I mean, how much technology they have, they lived for thousands of years right before the flood. Mm-hmm. And also if there was not as much water as there is now, obviously.
Right.
So it's like we're living on the mountaintops.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. In essence.
Absolutely. And who lives on mountaintops? Not many people that I know. I mean, there's a few
survivors of floods.
Yeah. So like in these valleys in the ocean floor, you know, that's covered up with silt and everything else over time, who knows what kind of technologies down there where the, you know, people used to live.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go full nerd here.
Let's do it.
Remember in how many Black Panther movies are there? Was there just two?
There's
like standalone movies.
Yeah. There's two, right? Yeah. Yeah. There's two.
The second one is
the second one with Namor. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one I'm referring to. See, yeah. So you get Namor and was it Kukulkan? The underwater civilization or whatever, and they go down there, and he wears that like golden serpent headdress, dragon looking thing, and addresses all the people down there. I mean, that's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As far as these other people that exist down there, and they're stronger and, you know, better for all kinds of warfare and stuff. And they've got their own technologies and stuff like that. That was super interesting to me. So it's like, could that be kind of talking about some of these things that are related to fallen angels and tech and former civilizations and, you know.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of UFOs come from the ocean.
So. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I think, isn't it something in Revelation that's one of God's judgment where he like dries up the sea or something?
Is it? I know it makes the sea, causes the sea to boil.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And wipe that out or something. But yeah, that's interesting to me because they talk about like these deep underground bases and things underneath the ocean, right? Or even like oceans underneath the ocean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw that. They found the, I guess, heavy water is what they were calling it. It's more dense than regular water, which makes sense because I was talking to a scientist once, just offhand. We're talking. It was nothing to do with anything supernatural, right? We're just chatting. He was talking about how actually like oxygen H2O is actually a fluid, but you don't think of it like that. So that's how planes and stuff can fly is because, you know, because if you think about a plane flying, I mean, you got, you know, it's going through like an atmosphere. An atmosphere is pretty much like a fluid, you know, because if you're going underwater, they'll say how many atmospheres down did you go? Because it gets heavier. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. I forgot about that. Wasn't there a movie? Was it one of the Meg movies about the giant sharks where it was like, there was an ocean even deeper, but it was like you said, there was like a dense water of like different temperature or something. And then that something shifted and it created an opening. The sharks could come up through it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Meg. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, it is. Something similar like with the Pacific Rim movies too, where those kaijus, but I think those were coming out of like a portal on the ocean floor or something.
Another thing.
Yeah. My kids love those movies.
Yeah. Mine do too. So another thing about, is interesting about flat earth is also the hollow earth theory, which I believe if the earth is flat, I also think it's hollow too, because in the Bible it says Satan, what does it say? Goes to and fro. Isn't it in Job? He's talking about
that. Yes. He's like, Satan were you? He's like, in the earth going to and fro, back and forth, up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, that would coincide with like all of these underground tunnels and deep underground military bases, all of these spaces down there. Mm-hmm. Then you've got all of these ancient lore and things from like Eastern tradition. They talk about Shambhala and that was Shambhala. What was the other one?
There's Shangri-La.
Shangri-La, Agartha, all these places. Doesn't legend have it that that's where, was it Steve Jobs, Apple, like went to the Himalayan mountains or something and met some ascended masters that.
Oh, really? I haven't heard this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, if you look, you think about it, you're like, wait a minute. Did he go somewhere in the hollow earth into one of these cities and get iPhone technology from, from some watchers that are living there still? It's like, what?
I mean, it's possible. I mean, seriously.
You know what I mean?
Technology, I mean, it blew up fast. You know,
yes.
What was it? 1940. When was Roswell? 42?
Yeah.
40,
yeah,
in the 40s. Somewhere in there. It just like after Roswell, technology
right before
exploded.
World War II.
Yeah. Technology exploded right after that.
Well, I've heard a couple things from some scholars and some truthers about the timeline of that. And a few of them were getting smart with numbers and saying, hey, the Bible talks about the watchers being in prison for X amount of years. So like if you work backwards from like around the turn of the 19th century, that could be why technology all of a sudden just shot up like that, like exponentially in the 1900s and until now. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I mean, it makes
sense.
They
have this kind of like, go ahead.
It makes sense because, you know, the book of Enoch, the watchers taught man how to create weapons. And I mean, they're the ones that taught them everything. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, Hollow Earth is very interesting. I think the Fall Brothers had, I think, the Hollow Earth Chronicles, part 1 and 2.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's a good one. Man, there's so much to that, I think.
Yeah, the Admiral Byrd, the Hollow Earth in the North Pole, which I think there's a no-fly zone up there. I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely.
Yep. And then also in Antarctica, you know, the lands beyond Antarctica that
that's
Admiral Byrd talked about.
Too.
This was like, it's free of snow. It's green. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. In his journals, didn't he talk about like going into the earth and meeting the king of the earth?
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wish it was, I don't know if it's embellished any, but because I think his son released it and some, there was speculation that his son may have embellished some of that. Like,
gotcha.
I'm not sure.
That'd be an interesting deep dive to do on him.
Yeah. Because he said, I mean, it did say that, like his stories, he flew in the earth and he saw ships with swastikas on them, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. I remember that now. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a, you know, the new Schwabenland base up there and how it's like he said, they went up there, you know, basically to finish the wars. You know, if I remember correctly, that a bunch of Nazis had tried to escape up there. So they went up there with literally like a battalion. Right, 4 ships and 5,000 men and all this stuff. If I remember correctly, they literally got their butts handed to them by UFOs.
Yeah.
And like you said, like flying swastikas and things.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely wild.
It's interesting because, you know, the swastika is an ancient symbol and the Nazis kind of, you know, took it for their own. But I mean,
absolutely.
It's a very esoteric symbol that's been used in like Hinduism, you know, forever. Which, you know, Hinduism takes us back to the, you know, the flying saucers from, you know,
Vimanas.
Hindu tradition. Yeah. The, what'd you say? What are they?
The Vimanas?
Vimanas. Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it just, I mean, so these fallen angels, you know, do you listen to Free the Rabbits at all? Joel Thomas's?
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yep.
So, I mean, he's got that awesome theory about how, you know, all these gods are actually fallen angels. Which, I mean, makes complete sense. And, you know, the principalities of the air
as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all these, you know, the Hindu gods who rode in these, you know, spaceships, essentially, you know, they're all just like, you know, fallen angels that, you know, the ones that teach us technology, not us, but, you know, the powers that be.
Yes. No, I think that there's so much to that. Right. And I think that it's like, you look at any culture, every culture from Earth has a pantheon of gods, and you start to dig into it, you realize, wait, are these the same beings, maybe with just different names and different cultures?
Yeah. Well, I mean, because they are. I mean, like, is it Pan, Loki? I'm trying to think of the other one. All these like trickster gods. I mean, it's essentially the same being. It's just, you know, with different names.
Yeah. Oh, so, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You find that all across the different
Zeus,
religions.
Zeus, Odin. I mean, very similar, you know.
And how that, I mean, then you go to Greek mythology and that, you know, coincides with Norse mythology Mm-hmm. And then you start getting into like the Japanese ancient culture and Hindu and all of those Eastern ones. Yeah, I think they're the same beings, just with different titles and names.
Yeah. So I'm gonna throw a curveball here because you said Japan.
Let's go.
Did you know that there is a province in Japan that says that Jesus visited them?
Really?
Do you know about this? Yeah, they have no, like
enlighten me.
It is. I don't know it right off the top of my head. I was hoping you knew it. I'm going to have to look it up real quick, but yeah, it's a crazy story. Jesus in Japan. That's why I'm topping in, guys. So, Japan local legend centered in a village of Shingaru. I'm going to say Shingo.
Okay.
Shingo Amaro Prefecture, where a grave is said to contain, it says contain the remains of Jesus Christ. That's not what I heard, but it says the story claims that Jesus, this is not the one I heard. This is a different one. It said it, he went there instead of being crucified, but that's like the,
okay,
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah. No, yeah. There's another one. Gnosticism. Then that's interesting.
Yeah. There was another one that I was thinking of.
Well, something I pulled up here, it says, according to legend, Jesus visited Japan between the ages of 21 and 33, period which the Bible supposedly skips over. And then it says, whether you believe the story or not, the rural beauty of the area around Shingo is real. Yeah, I don't know. That would be something interesting to dig into. Because, yeah, like, we hear a little bit about his childhood, like when he was, what, about 12 or so?
Yeah.
And he taught in the temple and different things like that. But there's not much else told.
There was something else. Sorry, we got a slight delay, so I'm cutting you off when I'm didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
Yeah. So there was another thing about in, I think, China. I can't remember who it was, but there's something recorded that whenever Jesus was crucified, that there was some, like, some person in China said, like, the Savior is dead or something. I can't remember exact, but it was like some, it's in some scroll or something. Way back in the day.
Is that based on them observing signs in the sky?
Like maybe.
The moon and stars and things. I think I remember that, where they knew that the king had died or something.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going off a rabbit trail, but you know.
No. Hey, that's good. It's good. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff. I try to think of something flat earth related. So here's something interesting. Magnetic north and compasses. Mm. What's your take on that? Have you heard anything about the Rupus Negra, the Black Mountain?
I have not, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I don't know enough. I probably know enough just to start to pique our interest in enough.
Is
to be
that in Alaska?
Speak intelligently on it. Supposedly, it's in the middle of the flat Earth.
Okay.
And you've got some people that have pointed out the UN's map of flat Earth, and they point to the middle and show that is the Rupus Negra, the Black Mountain. Or some would speculate the Mountain of God. So they speculate that perhaps that's where the Garden of Eden was, that was the meeting of like where God would come down. So they talk about nowadays, that's where the Aurora Borealis comes from, supposedly, is like the emerald majesty light coming from the throne room of God, which is above the earth, supposedly.
Makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And that's why we can't fly over the North Pole.
Yeah, there you go. So here's something. Let me ask you something about flat Earth, because this is something that I'll leave them nameless. I'll just say one of my in-laws, one of my wife's uncles, was giving me some hard time about flat Earth, and kept going back to the fact that, what about flights over the South Pole? What about flights over the South Pole? And it's like, well, the South Pole is around the Earth. So, you know, I quickly found some very interesting flight paths and things like that that would explain it. And of course, those weren't good enough, you know. But what's your take on that, on the South Pole and those types of flights and things that people claim that are real?
Well, I don't think there is flight paths across the South Pole. I think it's the airspace closed, correct? But speaking of flight paths, so there was a story of a girl that, she had a medical emergency, and they had to make an emergency landing. I want to say it's from, I'm just going to make something up because I know the path, but I don't know exactly where it originated, but I know the path it took. We'll say it's from, we'll say Taiwan. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Taiwan to LA, if the medical emergency happened over the ocean, where would you land for a medical emergency, like Hawaii or Australia is right there in that path going to the US, right? To California. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. They went to Alaska.
Interesting.
But if you look at the flat earth from that point to California, the logical stopping point would be Alaska because it's right along that path.
Right along the same path. Yeah. Oh, interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But if you're, gotcha, I mean, it would be, if it was on a globe earth, that would be way far out of the way.
Yeah. There's no way you've got enough fuel to go to that on that kind of model.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And then also there's other ones like, it was like Chile to some other place. Mm-hmm. The flight path didn't make sense. It would be too long the way they went, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But seriously, there's a reason why our Antarctica is off limits. Mm-hmm. And another interesting thing that happened a few years ago, do you remember that when everyone, like all the like world leaders went to Antarctica?
Oh yeah.
And that was really weird. And they didn't really say what it was about, but all these world leaders met in Antarctica.
Do you remember what year that was?
I want to say like 2019.
I think Obama
was still president, I think maybe.
2018 or 2019.
Oh yeah.
Obama.
It'd have to be. I want to say Obama was there. It wasn't Trump.
So wait, was it 20?
Maybe. Hold on. I'm going to look it up.
Because Trump's first office, he came in 2016, right?
Yeah. World leaders. Because who else was down there?
I know what you're talking about. Buzz Aldrin was there. All these different presidents and former presidents. I'm with you. I remember that. It feels like they were all summoned for something.
Yeah.
And it's the timeline is super sus in the fact that it's like, that's when things started to really kick off around the world leading up to C-19.
Yeah.
And the whole plan, you know what?
Yep. Yep. The, you know what? Yeah. It's weird, man. I think there's some sort of technology down there. Cause I'm sure you've seen those Google Earth images. And stuff shows like pyramids and what looks like giant doors on the side of mountains. And it's just very bizarre.
Very, very bizarre. Yeah. Well, I mean, going back to the Admiral Byrd thing, it's like, how do you fly into the earth unless there's some sort of massive opening or doorway or something? What movie was it? Recently, wasn't the new Kong X Godzilla or something?
Mm, yeah.
Remember that?
That's very flat. Starts off
and he's down in the hollow earth, right?
Yeah.
That was super interesting.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, the thing is, you know, movies, they kind of, you know, are soft disclosure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Straight up.
So many movies.
Yep.
So I'm going to just kind of veer off flat earth for a minute. Because there's something I wanted to ask your opinion on. What do you, since, you know, it kind of ties in with flat earth. So what you think of this asteroid 3i Atlas? It's supposedly on the way.
Dude. Jerry was talking about that on Sunday, huh?
I wasn't at church because I had a
that's right.
Soccer training.
Yeah, he was talking about it. Man, it's getting a lot of coverage right now, a lot of speculation. I don't know. It's very interesting to me. You know what I mean? It's like, so is something approaching from outside of the firmament? I don't know. Are you familiar with Timothy Alberino and his book Birthright?
I do not know the book, but I mean, I know who Timothy Alberino is.
I don't think he subscribes to, he doesn't believe in flat earth, but he has some interesting thoughts on angels, and he basically calls them the elder race, and that we are related to them, like so much so that genetically we're compatible, which would, you know, which allowed
the
watchers to come down and mate with human women and create giants, right? So anyway, the reason I brought him up is he talks about how there are still more loyal angels to God than there are to the enemy, right? So it's like, well, where are they? They got to be around. And how do they travel? You know, angels have physicality to them. I mean, scripture talks about them being in certain places. Obviously, they have abilities that we don't have, able to transport themselves or, you know, somewhere else in the blink of an eye. I mean, Jesus did that stuff too. So it's like, what do they have that we don't have as far as abilities and that kind of thing? But they have a physicality because they eat, They walk and talk with people. They interact. And so that being said, I mean, what if they're actually seeing something like some sort of ship or something coming to Earth? Like, you know, coming to mind is like the New Jerusalem coming down. It talks about in Revelation. And so it's very interesting. I heard a sermon on this a long time ago, and it just fascinated me. But the guy spoke on it, and he extrapolated the dimensions of it as talked about in Revelation. And he's like, you know, a lot of people have talked about this being just like a giant, like cube city or whatever. He's like, but the mathematics work out that could be a pyramid. So it's like the New Jerusalem, is that like the capstone? Is that this like the city of God? Is that some sort of ship?
Yeah.
Right? They can travel.
That goes into the Stargate series.
Yeah. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So I don't know. Like that's what I've been wondering. It's like, okay, are they seeing, is it an asteroid? Is it some sort of ship coming? It's like, okay, space is water. Is it some sort of like massive alien creature, like the great chaos dragon or something like that?
I mean, that's the thing though. I mean, the great dragon, I mean, talks about the dragon, the great dragon. Does it come from the sky in Revelation?
You know what? I'm not sure. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah. But also, you know, what I thought about was Wormwood,
the asteroid. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes and makes many water bitter so that lots of people died when they drank it. Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Okay. Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Or it could be just a comet.
Yeah. It could be a comet. Well, I think that they, if I remember correctly, they were talking about like how comets have trails and this kind of thing.
Well, they have a trail now on it. They said they can see it.
It's going like a different way than a normal one. Do I remember that correctly? Like it's.
The other day I was looking it up and I think it's back to, well, I'm just going to look it up right now again.
There you go.
I'm doing this all, I'm just completely looking up stuff all night. So, you know, it's all good.
We're shooting from the hip, baby.
That's right. I do this all the time. So yeah, the tail, this is the new, Gemini South captures glowing tail of interstellar comet 3I Atlas. So this is a new photo that was released September 4th. So it's pretty, I mean, it's pretty interesting. I don't know if you probably can't see it on my screen because I got to, but.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see the tail.
Yeah, that's what I've seen too.
Yeah.
They say it's the third confirmed interstellar object discovered passing through our solar system. Detected. But
how
in
do
July
they know exactly?
2025.
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's all conjecture. They can't really know where this came from. They can view it.
Yeah.
They can't really know where it came from. Just like there's the Oort cloud. Do you know what the Oort cloud is?
Yes.
It's where all the comets are supposedly come from, but no one's ever seen this Oort cloud. You know,
it's like
it's just all speculation.
Photon torpedoes at the Earth, like Star Trek.
And also, I mean, black holes. No one's actually ever witnessed a black hole. They just see what they think is a remnant of one. You know, but no one's ever observed
depiction.
It. Yeah,
yeah. I think that's interesting to me. I think didn't we have this conversation when there was that explosion recently? Mm-hmm. I think I brought up boom tubes from the DC comic universe.
Did we talk about this? I don't know.
Do you remember that? So in the, for those of you that don't know, in the DC comic book world, when they open up a portal to like another planet or another place, it's called a boom tube, and it has this explosion sound, and then a portal opens and you go through it, and when it closes it makes an explosion sound again. And so we had gotten talking about that because there was some explosions here in East Tennessee, you know, and we've got
this is a while back,
Oak Ridge, and and they've got their Hadron Collider over there and stuff, like trying to open portals like at CERN. So that was my speculation, like, oh, I wonder if there's some sort of like, you know, sound explosion when they open one of these portals.
Yeah,
but I wonder if that has any correlation with black holes, you know.
I don't know. I mean, well, you know, the CERN, that's, you know, part of it is, you know, trying to open some sort of portal or black hole. Or I mean, the Hadron Collider, they're supposed to, I mean, that's one of the things, right? To open micro black holes or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. To try and pull particles out.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah, man. It's wild.
It is. It's crazy.
So this is going to even get it. I mean, since we're just going out there, I'm going to launch this out and see what you think.
Let's keep going. Keep going.
So have you heard any of the talk about Rapture 2025? amongst Christians the thought that like 2025 is when Jesus is going to return?
I have not, but I mean, I've seen other things like people like saying like, here it comes, this is, you know, like precursor to what's going on, you know, but
yeah, people have been saying that ever, you know, my entire lifetime. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be this year. Things are getting bad in the world. Oh, it's another world war. Yeah. Jesus come back soon, all this stuff. Well, apparently, I don't know if it was a couple of years ago.
They did sacrifice a red heifer though. So there's
I saw that. There's a lot of things. So there's this guy, and this ties into what I'm talking about with 3-Eye Atlas and what we're kind of on that with that subject. But I'm in my mind, there's a connection. So I'm going to bring it up and see what your thoughts are. There's this guy named Joshua in South Africa. That's a pastor. And he claims that he is not a prophet, but that Christ appeared to him in a vision and told him that he's returning on the Feast of Trumpets 2025, which that's in 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks from now. And so it's got all these people talking and speculating and all these different things, right? And so the reason why that ties into the 3-Eye Atlas thing is, okay, clearly they're seeing something. They're either seeing something or they're fabricating some story. Oh, something's coming to Earth. So I had this conversation with my brother the other day. It's like, you remember in Avengers Infinity War and Endgame where Thanos came and he snapped half of existence away?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. They're like, what if that's kind of like pre-programming for, you know, the saints being taken up?
Being raptured, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what if, now this could be a stretch. What if some of these elites and things like that, that have access to more historical documents than what they allow the general public to, what if they suspect that, you know, indeed this could be the year that the king is returning, and either they're actually seeing something coming and it's some sort of armada or something of the Lord, or they're just contriving some sort of story that they're like, oh, some alien mothership is coming. And then it's like, if it happens, if people get blinked away or something, they're like, oh, it was the aliens.
Yeah.
Now we have to unite the world against this external threat.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's I told you it was way out there. Sorry. And that
no, no, no. It's not, I mean,
eloquently put, but
it's not way out there. Cause I mean, these are things that I think about all the time, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't heard the 2025 thing, but I have, like I said, I've seen videos of people speculating like what's coming up. Is Rosh Hashanah coming up?
Yes.
Or yeah. Yep. And then, yep, you know, we had the blood moon or whatever recently.
Blood moon and an eclipse.
Yeah. So
my parents, they're down in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa. They saw both. They said it was really, really incredible.
That's cool.
So I don't know. This could be God's warning signs. Be like, hey, get your act together.
Yeah, definitely. So one thing that's very interesting is, I don't know if you've heard this theory or not. So going back to the moon and about how it may be something other than what we think it is, you know, like an luminary. Mm-hmm. So another thing real quick before I get into that, we were talking about the light from the moon. Actually, mm-hmm, if you take a thermometer and you measure the temperature of the light from the moon, it's actually colder in the moonlight than it is in the moon shade. Like it's
wild.
And then, you know, in the sun, the shade is colder than the light from the sun. So it's kind of like the opposite. It cools everything off at night and the sun heats everything up during the day, which is, you know, it seems very well constructed. It cools you off at night and then heats you up in the day. Yeah, like very planned. Anyways, so back to the moons. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but speaking of blood moons, you know, one of the signs in Revelation is the moon will turn to blood.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, oh, you know, it's just talking about, you know, like, you know, the blood moons, which is, what is a blood moon? It happens every, I can't remember how often it happens. I mean, it happens every once in a while, right? But if you look at those high res photos of the moon almost looks like it's rusting, right?
Yes.
And so that, and they said that some scientists, I can't remember who it was, said that there was hematite on the moon.
Literal rust.
But hematite is also, you know, hemo is
blood,
part of blood. Yeah. Like hemoglobin. Yeah. So mm-hmm, yeah, that's very interesting. Right. So it's literally rusting and thus turning to blood. Yeah.
Fascinating.
But if you go look up a high res image of the moon and you'll see it like
it straight up looks red. Like it. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, while we're on subject of the moon, have you seen the footage where somebody's like filming it close up and you see almost like a wave go across the moon?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I have.
It looks like water.
Yeah.
Like, definitely, like you're looking at something underwater.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or if it's just like some sort of image that's resetting.
Yeah. That was another thing, that it was like a refresh signal, you know?
Yes. Yeah. What was that movie? Wasn't there a movie like within the last 2, 3, 4 years, maybe, something about the moon, and it was an actual structure and they flew inside it?
I don't know.
What was the name of that movie? And there was some cataclysm thing that came for the Earth, and it almost looked like a, like kind of Venom, where it was amorphous blob type thing, and it came and it was destroying the Earth. And in the movie, they actually flew into the moon. It was a structure, and it was some sort of ancient alien ship that put out some sort of protective frequency to destroy this amorphous blob that came to eat the planet.
I don't know what it is, but I need to see it. It sounds awesome.
Yeah. The movie was kind of trash as far as like the acting and things was not very good, but it was like, it was in theaters and then it was like out pretty quick. Cause I think people were watching. They're like, what is this crap? But I thought it was interesting, you know, considering, you know, what I believe about it. And, you know, it was interesting.
Yeah. So it's
Moonfall, maybe.
It's a Moonfall. That was a movie. Moonfall was. Yeah. At first I thought you were talking
2021,
about
2021. So 4 years old. There was a movie from The Conjuring.
Yeah. There's a movie about Nazis on the moon. I thought you were talking about that at first.
I've seen those too. Those are wild.
Yeah.
Those are wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moonfall with the dude from
from The Conjuring, yeah.
The Conjuring, and also from Aquaman.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I can't think of his name.
His character was Orm. Ocean Master Orm.
Ocean Master Orm.
Cockroach burger at the end of Aquaman 2.
That's funny. Man, dude, I want to thank you so much for coming on, but seriously, we need to do this again because I had so much fun. Yeah. It was a blast.
Dude, thanks so much for having me, man. I really appreciate it. Love what you're doing on here and just your whole way. So thanks so much.
I'm trying, dude, you know, this is more, I mean, I don't know how many people listen. I mean, a few people listen, but you know, it's more, I like to talk to people. So it's just fun for me, you know?
Yeah, let's do it, man. We got to get some jams going and
definitely,
you know, some more discussions and dive into some stuff. So thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, man.
For those that are listening, thank you for putting up with the rabbit trails.
That's right. Rabbit trails and all that. But guys, thanks for checking out AFK Discussions. Follow us wherever you do social media, AFK Discussions. If you want to send us an email and want to be on the show, afkdiscussions@gmail.com. But that's about it. So we'll see you later. Peace.
Static on the air, midnight buzzing in my veins. Chasing footsteps lost between the trees, my pulse strains. Rational mind cracking under weight of what I've seen. Trembling hands fumble for the tape. Are you listening? How do I explain what reason won't believe? Is it madness or the dark divide, shifting shadows cross my line. It's not just in your mind. Wilderness silent, but my thoughts scream from inside. Torn between the echo of doubt and the terror, it subsides. You say it's nothing, but it stares back while it alive. How do I explain what logically delusion or a signal I should find? What lurks beyond the edge of reason? Every answer spawns a deeper question. If you could see the world the way I see it, would you dare to step into the tension? Late at night, the voices circling. I press record. My heartbeat is a warning. It started.